I'm Katya Gordon, and you're listening to KTWH as we do our weekly check-in with Greg Ruberg, CEO of Lakeview Hospital and Clinic. Thank you, Greg, for calling in. Are you there?
Good morning. I'm here.
Good morning. Well, here we are, and it's the end of August, and let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned it last week, but it's coming, the flu season. That's going to create some extra confusion, I'm guessing. Can you tell us a little bit about how to manage that?
Yeah, so one of our areas that we're doing a lot of planning now and really contingency planning on is flu season. And so the challenge that we're going to face getting into probably late September, October, and after is patients and employees who have flu symptoms, and those very much mimic COVID symptoms. And so, again, it's going to be hard for us to tell the difference, and the impact is then around isolation and ability to work or not work and how we treat. So I think that we've kind of shifted from surge planning to flu planning.
Now, flu is also can be a lethal disease, and it seems similar in some ways, not only symptom-wise, but just how deadly it is. Is that not accurate, or like how do we compare both the contagious element and the fatality rate with flu?
Yeah, so I will cover just a few things on how it's similar, but then also how it's different, because you're right, influenza is a serious condition. We just understand it better. We know how to manage it more effectively, and it still has a negative impact on people, no question. So really, the similarities is COVID-19 and influenza are spread person to person in close contact. So again, we think for both it's within about 6 feet, so it goes back to that concept of viral load. Both are spread by droplets. So again, you think about when people are coughing, sneezing, talking, droplets get released into the air, and then those, again, that's how the other person gets infected. And so usually the droplets will land on the mouth or noses of people or be inhaled directly into the lungs. So that's a pretty direct way of transmitting both COVID and influenza. It also can be transmitted by touching something where the droplets are at and then touching your eyes or your nose or any kind of mucous membrane. So we always talk about hand sanitizing, but again, I think it's a really good habit to avoid touching your eyes, your nose, or your mouth unless you've washed or used hand sanitizer. So that's how it's transmitted. The other challenge for us is the populations that are most vulnerable are similar between COVID-19 and flu. So it's, you know, elderly people, those with comorbidities, those with lung asthma type of issues, and also people who live in congregate care. So again, very much similar.
Mm-hmm.
I think the differences between the two that are important to note is we believe, and the current knowledge is that COVID-19 is much more contagious among certain population and age groups than the flu. And again, the key is certain populations, because some younger people tend to be more spreaders of COVID and are not impacted as directly, but again, so that's different.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing with COVID is we've noticed is that there are more what we call super spreading events. So there's, I think, more likelihood of COVID being transmitted to more people quickly that are all closer together than influenza. We seem to be a little bit more resistant to that super spreading of influenza than COVID. But again, we're still learning.
And then once somebody comes into you with nondescript symptoms, you get a test, obviously, and then when you find out whether you have COVID or whether you have the flu, how much will that impact your treatment? Or is your treatment essentially to stay home and drink fluids and rest and do all those things is similar? Or are there key differences?
Yeah, there will be a couple things. I think the first consideration is how do we determine what it is? So if somebody comes in with symptoms that are similar between the two, you know, as healthcare workers, we can't have them on the front lines providing care to our patients who are compromised or at increased risk, or any patient for that matter. And so we do have a new PCR test. It's an analyzer that we use in our lab that will test three different things: influenza, RSV, and SARS-CoV-2 or COVID-19. So we will be using, I hope, that test. It's a rapid test. Be using that a lot more frequently as we go into the winter months. My concern is, again, back to testing supplies.
Okay.
So we got our machine in, but we don't have any testing supplies because of the demand. And so that will be an issue going through the year.
Okay. But it's good to know there is a test like that will figure it all out at once, apparently, it sounds like.
There is. If it is COVID, then again, the isolation period is longer than the flu.
Okay.
If it's influenza, we'll follow the same guidelines we've used in the past for employees about returning to work.
Is it too optimistic to think that with all the masks being worn that perhaps the flu season will be contained way more than it usually is? And also with kids not going to school sick and all the things that we consider normal in a regular winter?
I certainly think so. You know, what I've read and what I've heard the experts talking about this is certainly by wearing a mask to help prevent COVID, we will have a positive impact on flu because, again, we're not those droplets are not being sent out into the air to be picked up by other people. I think all of the focus on hand sanitizers and keeping distance and avoiding groups, you would think it has to have an impact on transmission of influenza because, again, they're transmitted the same way. So there could be some silver lining because the real challenge comes in if we have a bad flu season and COVID ramps up, it's going to put strain on not only healthcare providers and employers and schools and teachers and students and really the whole community.
Yeah, and there's really no way, it's kind of like the hurricane season, isn't it? I mean, there's no way of knowing how bad the flu season is going to be.
Correct.
All right. All right, well, we have had a listener question, Greg, about the new CDC guidelines that seem to be saying not so many tests after we've been hearing about the value of tests. Can you interpret this for us a little bit?
Yeah, so this was actually quite surprising. I think, again, I've mentioned before that we, as a local hospital and a healthcare system, we're always monitoring CDC guidelines. We follow much of that. We also then follow guidelines from the Minnesota Department of Health. And really, we default more to the MDH guidelines because that's specific to Minnesota and it's consistent across the state and that's our regulatory body and all of that. But we're also always looking to the CDC to see how those align or how they don't align and how we respond. So this week, the CDC came out on their website with a statement saying that you may not have to be tested if you're asymptomatic and had close contact with somebody who was confirmed positive for COVID-19. And so again, I think what that means is if you were around somebody who tests positive that and you're not having symptoms, you don't need to be tested. And that is not consistent with what we have been doing here as a hospital or a health system or necessarily with MDH. Our guidelines have been if you've had close contact with somebody who is confirmed positive by a test, and so the close contact, again, is defined by within 6 feet for more than 15 minutes. We would test because we want to know if you potentially have it and could be transmitting it, not even knowing it. So it was a significant pushback, lots of questions answered. We reached out to the Minnesota Hospital Association, and I'm sure they in turn went out to MDH and said, you know, what is going on? What do we follow? I think this was happening across the country. And then just as of yesterday, the CDC kind of walked that statement back a little bit. To my understanding, the website still has not changed, but they've said, well, if you've had close contact, then you could consider being tested for COVID. So again, I think it's reverting back to what the change was previous to earlier in the week. And again, we have continued to follow MDH guidelines. So if somebody had close contact with a confirmed positive, we would go through our algorithm and not 100% guarantee, but most likely test when they're symptomatic.
Yeah, and the limits to that have really only been the limits of our supplies, not so much the limits of what you'd want to test.
Right. Yeah, I think the hard part is, too, if you started, we're going to get to a certain point, I think, in the community where, you know, if you're asymptomatic and find out you're in close contact, as cases grow, that likelihood's going to increase. But if you're having symptoms that are consistent with COVID and you had that close contact, the algorithm would support testing in that case. And so I think the CDC, it was surprising, I guess, to see some of this information.
Yeah. Well, and the answer continues to be, it seems like, when in doubt, call the clinic, and you will give us the advice we need to hear and give us direction. And so in some ways, it's like we don't even need to keep track of all this. We just know that what we need to do is follow the rules and then call if we have a question.
Right. The other thing I just would mention around that, too, and I agree, we will certainly guide you with the latest guidance and kind of recommendations that we have from various sources. We've had a couple of requests recently by individuals saying, I'm asymptomatic, but I need a COVID test so I can go back to work in my place of work. And that could be manufacturing, it could be food service or various different types of work. And we are not testing people that are asymptomatic to get releases to go back to work. So our communication to them is, if you're asymptomatic and you're practicing good hygiene and you're monitoring yourself, you can go back to work. And then if you become symptomatic, then call us and we'll go through the algorithm again to see if you're symptomatic related to COVID or if you've had close contact, then we go through the testing recommendation.
Okay. Great. Well, that does sound like a direct answer to a confusing situation of which there are maybe many. So thank you for that example. And I think that probably wraps up what we need. Anything else, Greg, before we check out?
Nope, that is it for me this week.
Okay, well, thanks so much, and we'll talk to you next week.
All right, have a good day.
You too. That was Greg Ruberg. He is CEO of Lakeview Clinic and Hospital.